JJC Podcast Experience, bringing you the content, the stories, and the insights.
Welcome to the JJC Podcast Experience. This is Saturdays with Stephanie, and I am Stephanie, here with a guest host, Nomsa. Nomsa, would you like to give us a little intro, a little something about yourself?
Yes, hi to everyone listening. My name is Nomsa Mhlongo. I am the co-founder of Rearview Mirror Mental Health Agency. And yeah, today we're just here to talk about everything mental health and, you know, how to get our mental health on check. And yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Whoop, whoop, yes.
Thank you so much, Nomsa. I'm so happy to have you here today. So pretty much the topic for today, just an add-on from what Nomsa said, we will be talking about mental health in a POC household, which is people of color, in case you didn't know. So Nomsa, what got you into mental health? Like, what drew you to starting, like, what you do?
All right, cool. So, I mean, I actually always knew that I would study psychology ever since I was probably in grade 10. You know, obviously I grew up in an environment where my dad had actually went to the army. So my dad was a soldier. He had retired, and then he got married to my mother, and then I came along. And then obviously because of, you know, his experience in the army, he suffered a lot from post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, obviously when I was young, I didn't know what that was. You know, so you'd have moments where my dad would be okay and he's normal. You know, and then there'll be moments where he just loses, you know, control of himself, whether it be reliving, the trauma through dreams, where he'd have nightmares, like real nightmares where he wakes up and he, you know, wants to just throw things around, or just in general, like how he behaved, you'd see that there must be something beyond what's happening. And because of that, I really wanted to study psychology. I wanted to understand, why do people behave the way they do? Why do people, you know, what is so strong about the mind? Why is the mind like this? And how to help people that have suffered from trauma. So that's how I landed up in the love of psychology and wanting to just know people better and understand human beings and their emotions. So that's how I landed up in this space.
Wow, Nomsa, that is really touching and inspiring. I really hope to, you know, come to where you are today, because I'm also really quite a mental health nut. I love learning about mental health and love learning how the mind works and trying to understand why we are the way we are. From your story, just a question, a little personal, sorry if it is. Do you think that because you grew up in a POC household, it made it like harder for your dad to deal with his PTSD?
Absolutely. That's a beautiful question. I mean, he actually till this day hasn't went to go see a professional, and his daughter is a professional, but he's never, like, he says he's okay, no, I'm fine. And obviously as you grow, it starts fading, but it's still there, you know. But I wish he had taken the initiative to go and see a professional, try to get help and maybe, you know, get diagnosis to actually find out what exactly is the problem. But unfortunately, like you said, being in a POC background, there is a stigma about psychology, and we haven't really gotten to a point where POC households have understood what exactly mental health is and what exactly is the importance of seeking therapy to heal from your trauma. So yeah, definitely it has played a huge role.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I feel like every POC household does carry a certain stigma when it comes to mental health, and because of that could be so detrimental not only to the person suffering from any type of, you know, mental health disorder, but also impacting the entire family as well. So in that sense, how do you feel like your dad's lack of, you know, attention to his PTSD affected you and your family?
It really did affect me specifically. You know, because like I said, I grew up, okay, firstly with the passion of wanting to pursue psychology, but I also grew up with a lot of trauma, you know, like I suffered a lot from anxiety. You know, I was always scared, like even till today, I always have to, you know, teach myself how to stay calm, but I've always been, you know, like a very anxious person, very hard for me to trust, very hard for me to feel safe in an environment, to feel safe in a friendship, to feel safe in a relationship, in a marriage. So I really had to seek, you know, some form of counseling in order for me to heal from that. Because you can imagine as a child being in a home environment and you're not sure what kind of emotion today will showcase itself in my father, you know. So I felt really unsafe, and that's basically the tone of my life throughout my life. Even when I was removed from the traumatic environment, I then started thinking I am still not safe, even if I was in a safe environment. So it really did affect me as a person. And because of what I know, I had to seek help. I had to myself, you know, find ways, and I'm still trying to maintain those ways to feel safe in whatever space or in whatever relationship I find myself in.
So that's really powerful, and I feel you 110%, because most of the times people often think about how, like, the person suffering from the mental health disorder is, and not necessarily how the people around them are suffering as well. And it's really sad that we neglect how it impacts, like, other important people, like, in our lives, like, not just the person, but the entire household, the entire community, the entire environment, and how neglect to your mental health is neglect to everyone around you, and how detrimental that is for, like, children especially. So how would you advise people to somewhat cater to growing up around parents who suffer from mental health disorders but neglect mental health overall? What advice would you give them?
Sure. You're saying so many powerful things. I'm not even sure which one to hold on to. You know, you're speaking about if people don't realize that the effect is not only on the family, but the community at large. That is such a beautiful statement to make. It's very true. Because there's so many social ills that we face today are because of the fact that many households, there's parents, you know, these siblings, anyone, or cousin and aunt who has a mental illness that's not only affecting them, but as their behavior is portrayed into the family, it's affecting the family, but also the community at large. And so we don't understand the ripple effect that mental health has. You know, it's not only going to affect your children, it's going to affect how your children behave in communities. And, you know, and as a result, it's just, you know, a ripple effect of mental health issues that are not being resolved. We are not equipped enough with the emotional skills to deal with life. And a lot of times then that comes out in our social lives as murder, as rape, as, you know, just anxiety and bipolar. So it is a ripple effect, and I have to agree with you. So how I would advise anyone who's growing up in an environment where they've got a parent or they've got someone who's suffering from a mental health issue, but that person does not want to really, you know, find help. I mean, I myself, like I said to you, I have my father who never even went to go seek help, you know. But I started then saying, maybe let me not focus too much on him, because at the end of the day, he is an adult and he's got his own choices to make. Let me focus on me. Let me focus on my mental health. Let me make sure that this ripple effect does not touch me and my children. Let me help myself in this situation. Let me help my siblings. Let me help my mother. Let me help those that I can, because sometimes if this person does not want to seek help, there's nothing you can do about that. But what you can do is, you know, focus on your mental health. Make sure you are okay. And if you can start there, you know, you make sure that you break that, you know, that cycle. You're breaking the cycle by saying, but I don't want to be like that, you know. You're breaking the cycle by consciously deciding to help yourself and to ensure that your mental health is at the right place. Because sometimes we cut ourselves, we hurt ourselves by trying to help people that don't want to be helped. So you need to draw a line and say, okay, this is where it ends for me. I've tried all I can to help my mother, to help my father, to help my sister, but this is as far as I can go for my sake, for my peace, and for my mental health. I can only go this far, and you can just love them as who they are after that. Yeah.
So that was beautiful. That was so powerful, and it makes so much sense. Like, all the wisdom I'm getting from you right now is just amazing. Like, that makes so much sense. Like, we really do live and, like, continue a hurt people phenomenon. What we really need to realize is that the most important change starts with changing ourselves. Like, if we really want to make an impact and change the world, that change needs to start within each and every one of us. And that focus needs to start with us.
Yeah.
So in that way, what coping mechanisms would you give to children to help them focus on themselves and their mental health?
Sure. Okay. So how I dealt with it, I'll give coping mechanisms based on my experience and obviously how that experience is linked to my profession. How I always dealt with my trauma is being able to separate environments. So I actually still became a student, for example, in school. Okay, not A, like B student. Let me say B student. It's in school, even though I was going through the trauma I was going through at home, because somehow I was able to separate home from school. I was able to know that when I'm at school, this is who I am. I need to focus. It's my future that is at stake. Obviously, it wasn't as concrete and abstract when I was young, you know, because I played a lot, you know, I lost myself in the process, but somehow I knew how to separate the two environments. So I'd always say, try by all means to understand that you are not where you come from. Where you come from is just part of your story. So always understand that as you step out of the house, you're stepping out into a world where you're given an opportunity to be yourself and finally be you. So go out there when you get to school, be yourself. Use every opportunity you can to ensure that you set yourself up for a better future. Do the things you love, you know. If you love music, play music. If you like reading a book, read a book. It helps you to separate yourself from a traumatic environment. Try by all means to find ways to not really distract. Distract is really not the greatest of words, but find something that you can escape into in order for you to deal with the trauma. But then be careful not to lose yourself too much into the escape. So it's always just a balance of saying, accept your truth and accept your reality, but find a way to find a place to heal. And my place to heal was my relationship with God. I prayed a lot. I found solace in praying. I found solace in reading God's word and just, you know, being connected to Him, a higher power, if you want to call it. But for me, it was God. It was my salvation that helped me quite a lot to move past that trauma. So it's always good to believe. It's always good to have hope. It's always good to find God because then he can lead you throughout, you know, those phases where you feel like it's too much. Even in therapy, we always encourage people to find their source, find where you come from, you know, in a spiritual entity, a spiritual context. And mine happened to be God, Christ, and my salvation. And it helped me quite a lot to have that. So those are the type of coping mechanisms, things you love, you know, your spirituality. Don't let your traumatic environment keep you in a cage. You're still a human. You still need to evolve. So find an escape. Find a place to run to. I hope that helps. I hope it helps. Yeah.
That helps so much, and I identify with that so much, because whenever I feel like I'm trapped in like a toxic environment, I always have this mantra where I say I am not my circumstance. Because people often at times like identify themselves by their trauma and let the trauma trickle into every single aspect of their life and in a way toxifying every single aspect of their life. So by like isolating that trauma and not like throwing it away, but finding a way to somewhat cope with it and not let it like control you.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a strengthening tool. It's a tool that suppresses you and keeps you from like prospering in life. You find other things that identify, that you can use to identify you with you. It's your religion, but some people it may be their creativity, just anything else besides your trauma that could bring you a sense of like empowerment in your individuality and your identity. So really that is so powerful. Thank you so much. And I hope that people can bring that into their lives as well.
Wow. So, Stephanie, who's the psychologist here, me or you? Honestly, I can't cope.
Oh, how good to you, man.
That was beautiful. Yes, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I could not take away or add anything to what you just said. That's exactly it. Yeah.
We're learning together. We're just bouncing bees off of each other. This is beautiful. And on the topic of, you know, you're taking care of yourself and focusing on your own mental health. I know, like, kids themselves struggle with mental health. And, like, for example, me, I'm actually with you on the anxiety thing. I have severe general anxiety disorder and OCD, and that just manifests into, like, a million other things. Mm. So, and being in a POC household, it's not necessarily the easiest thing to deal with, because it's something that I don't even necessarily understand myself, then having to try and make my parents understand or my siblings understand, it's just a whole lot of chaos. And again, with the stigmas, the people that are supposed to be supporting you, the people that are living with you, carry around this like stigma or judgment in the household that's supposed to make you feel safe. So it's just that kind of environment that not only me, but millions of POC households and children go through. So what advice would you give to people like me on approaching their family about mental health disorders and how to deal with it and asking for help?
So, I said this when we were having our counselors meeting, it's always good to start by educating and informing them bit by bit, you know, not overwhelming your family with information, but just, you know, genuinely step by step, giving them an insight about what exactly is, for example, generalized anxiety disorder, you know, making them understand where could it originate from, what is it, you know. And the more they find out and begin to understand what it is, there's those that will say, oh, I actually didn't know. Tell me more, you know, but there's also those that would push back. But like I said, with those that would push back, with family members that say, I don't want to know, like I said, always focus on your mental health. There's only so far that you can go to try and educate someone else about a mental health disorder. What you don't want is to hurt yourself in the process. So make sure that you're educating, giving them all the information, and they can make informed decisions. So sometimes we become biased against mental health because we're not informed. We think that depression is a demon, that you can just pray away. But, you know, if only they knew that sometimes depression is due to the fact that you just don't have a chemical, you've got a chemical imbalance. There's a chemical in your brain that is not, you know, excreting the way it should. So then you need to take antidepressants, or you need to take a pill called lithium that's going to help you with your moods. So sometimes it's because of that. So when you inform your parents about that, there's no way they can still feel like, no, it's a demon. It's actually a medical condition. So, you know, you need to also be well informed about the mental health that you have, whatever the case may be, so that when you educate those around you, you can give them facts and information that is true, and they can then make decisions based on an informed point of view, basically. So I always say, start by informing, start by educating, start by talking about these things. You know, it's all, that's where we start. That's the only thing we can do, is just talk about them. You know, talk about them. I can't stress this enough. We need to start talking more about mental health, because the more we talk about them, the more it brings enlightenment. Like, oh, really? I didn't know that. You know, so we need to just continue the talk. It's not a once-off thing. It's not a once-off topic. It's a continuous topic. The more we learn, the more we are able to make informed decisions about it.
Yes, yes, yes. No, yeah. So I agree with that 110%. Like, you always need to start the conversation. And one thing we love to say down here at Advocacy is knowledge is power. Knowledge to something and educating just carries so much power, because it really does remove stigma and bias and prejudice against like these taboo topics. So that is really powerful. Educate, educate, educate. And we really do need to remember that stuff like mental health, it's not a phase. It's not a trend. It's not something that will just pass by. It's not, you know, just playing into what social media is portraying these days. It's something like, it's your entire life, and you need to stay consistent with treating it, talking about it, educating yourself on it, because in your life, maybe if I'm talking about it to you, it's just something that you heard me say 2 months ago, but this is something I'm dealing with for my entire life. So really opening up to people and educating people about such issues is also bringing them like to light with your life and how you live, and opening up your mind and your feelings to them, so somewhat relate. And once they start relating and understanding and feeling what you're feeling, then it brings them into the conversation and brings them into helping you help yourself, and helping the whole mental health phenomenon somewhat better and more treatable and more, you know, normalized in society. So again, I relate to that so much. But in such a household, I know, like, one thing I say is we can't shame people for information that they never had access to. Like back then, back in maybe the Hudson Village in 1912 or something, they didn't have access to, you know, topics like mental health. They didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
Can't shame them for thinking that, for having prejudice or bias against information that they didn't have access to. And with that, changing, like, educating people, like parents, for example, like really old people, about mental health would be very, very difficult. And again, you can't change people's minds, you can't change people's ideologies. They've grown up with this their entire lives, believing mental health is real. Their grandparents, their grand-grand-grandparents, so they obviously think, what's going to change now? Going to die in 2 years anyway, it's not important.
True.
With that type of mindset and those type of, like, ideologies, educating your parents into mental health and getting them to help you, because then again, you are a child, you do need help, you do need support. As much as you can focus on yourself and try and help yourself, like with me, someone with OCD, there's only so much I can do as a child with such limited support. So in those types of instances, where would someone like me, or someone who has a more severe case, maybe bipolar or severe depression or suicidal thoughts, where would you suggest that they get support and help?
Definitely. You've said a lot of things there. I'm like, yep, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. We cannot, you know, in a way punish our parents because they don't know about mental health. Like you said, they weren't privileged to have that information as freely as we have it right now. So I absolutely agree with you. So, and it would be more difficult to teach them about mental health because, you know, just teaching them how to use WhatsApp has been a mission. So yeah, you obviously have to be patient. You know, with someone that is suffering from anything severe, I always say the first place to go to is, you know, seeking professional help. Go to a professional, go to a psychologist, go to someone who can give you guidance, you know, on how to deal, on how to have coping mechanisms, on how to heal, someone who can give a real diagnosis. What I've noticed is that people like diagnosing themselves. You know, like a lot of people will come and tell me, oh, I've got depression. Okay, who told you? No, I just know because when I Googled it on Google, these are the symptoms. No. Unless a professional has diagnosed you with the sickness, then you don't have depression. We're not sure that it's depression yet. You know, it could be something else. It could be anxiety. It could be just that you were having a bad week or a bad month. So it's one of those things where we have to, we call it epidemiology. You know, it's a diagnosis. It's like when you go to a doctor and you say, doctor, I'm so sure I've got flu. The doctor will first go through the symptoms. Have you been having flu for this long? What are the symptoms? Are you sneezing? Are you coughing? It's the same when you get diagnosed with a mental health sickness. The psychology needs to go through a diagnosis. And until those symptoms are all prevalent at that time, then we can say, okay, it is depression. It's been happening for more than 6 months that you're feeling down. You have feelings of hopelessness. You're feeling despair, and it happens often. Unless that has happened, then you can't diagnose yourself. So hence it's important that if you're suffering from something severe, make sure firstly it's diagnosed by a professional. Secondly, it's always advisable to have a support group, to attend support groups. There's, you know, facilities like SADC, which is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. They create support groups for people that are suffering from depression, bipolar. Those are good forums to be associated with. Because then you start realizing that you're not alone. You know, and then you also find coping mechanisms, and you find a community of people that are just going through what you're also going through, and that helps you in your journey of recovery and in your journey of healing. So my advice will always be start by a professional, make sure it's diagnosed. Thereafter that, find a support group, have people around you that will support you that are also going through something similar, that have a similar diagnosis.
Oh, okay. Yes, that makes so much sense. Thank you so much, Mamsa. And on the lines of finding help, not everybody may be as privileged to, you know, find a counselor or a therapist or a professional, unfortunately. So yeah. Besides SADC, do you know of any other organizations or places people can find help if they can't necessarily afford, you know, therapy?
Yeah. All right. So obviously SADC is also free, by the way. And then there's FAMHSA. you also can go to a clinic. Every clinic has a counselor or a psychologist that's there that gives free counseling. And so that's also a good place that you can go to. But there's also other platforms. It's just a lot of platforms. The ones that I always refer people to would be SADC, as well as clinics. Go to your nearest clinic, ask to see a counselor, ask to speak to someone. They'll definitely acquaint you to the right person.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Namsa. This has been so helpful. I'll definitely take what you have into account. I'm sure our audience will as well. Like, you've just dished out so many facts and so much inspiration and motivation to keep on going. Mm-hmm. And mental health is just such a big spectrum, and it's really something that's coming into this day and age, which I'm so grateful for. It really needs to be spoken about more. And I'm so happy that, you know, you are on, like, in the mental health industry, because representation is also great for mental health. Seeing someone like you out there, it's really helpful. And we just really need to remember to take care of ourselves, like you said, and focus on ourselves and focus on our mental health, because I really do believe that our mind is the center of our entire existence. Like, everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, the way we live is based off of, like, our mind, our mental space, and we need to take care of our mental space and our mental health in order to function and prosper as, like, a human being. So, with that, do you have any last words, any advice, anything you'd like to say to the people listening, just to send them off?
Ooh, after what you said, Stephanie. Well, in closing, I would like to say is, life is a journey, man. Enjoy it. You'll always have the good and the bad coupled with life. And there's no such a thing as a life that will go smoothly. If you've got a life like that, then you're on the wrong lane. But because life is always coupled with the bad and the good. And a lot of times we don't have the emotional skills to handle the bad. So we need to acquire the right emotional skills to handle the bad times in our lives. Take time to heal. Take time to take care of yourself. Understand yourself. Self-awareness is the best thing to have, because you will know when something is wrong. You'll know when Namsa is not okay anymore, and you'll be able to deal with that if you're self-aware. Every day, take time to just breathe. Close your eyes and just listen to the birds chirping. Listen to everyone that's going around and moving around. Just take time to be with yourself and love yourself. Enjoy who you are. Love you. Say good things to yourself. When you look at yourself in the mirror and you open your eyes, affirm yourself. Tell yourself that you're going to make it, regardless of what it is that you've faced in your life. And above all things, make sure that that mind of yours does not get tainted by anything. Make sure your mind is always healthy, and always exercise that mind to realize that the good comes with the bad, and to always overcome the bad and just enjoy the good. Yeah, that's the last thing I want to say.
Thank you so much, Namsa. I am definitely taking that into today and the rest of my life, and I'm sure everybody else listening will too. You are a phenomenal person with so many great facts and so much to offer. And thank you so much for agreeing to be on the JGC podcast experience. You are a new joy to have.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephanie. I feel like one day when I'm retired, you're going to be my psychologist. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. I always enjoy speaking to you guys. You guys are phenomenal.
Thank you so much. So that is all we have for today. So for more motivation, inspiration, and education, be sure to tune in to more of the JGC podcast experience.
This podcast was brought to you by the Johannesburg Junior Council in partnership with Red Radio.